From National Public Radio News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. Hundreds of thousands of federal workers showed up for jobs this morning and then were sent home because of the budget deadlock between President Clinton and the Republican Congress. It has forced much of the government to shut down, including the parks and monuments.
Due to the closure of all government facilities, all monuments, memorials, and visitor services will be closed to the public until further notice. The White House and the White House Visitor Center is also closed.
President Clinton last night vetoed the continuing resolution that would have averted a shutdown. In a letter to Congress explaining his action, he pointed out the bill would raise Medicare premiums and deeply cut education and environmental protections. He said those conditions are not necessary to meet his goal of balancing the budget. He's asking for a clean continuing resolution, one with no extraneous conditions. Neither side made a move toward compromise in a meeting last night. They will try again this morning when Chief of Staff Leon Panetta and Budget Director Alice Rivlin meet with House Budget Chairman John Kasich and Senate Budget Chief Pete Domenici.
This is Morning Edition. I'm Bob Edwards. The White House has ordered hundreds of thousands of federal employees who reported for work this morning to go back home because the government no longer has the legal authority to pay them. Late last night, President Clinton vetoed a temporary spending bill that would have averted the shutdown, but in his view, would have raised Medicare premiums. The White House also said it would have cut spending too much. Minutes after the veto, the president met with House and Senate Republican leaders. The discussions at the White House produced only an agreement to meet again. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
Congressional Republicans emerged from an 11th-hour meeting with the president just moments before the midnight deadline to announce that no agreement had been reached. But Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole said the fact that the two sides were even talking was progress.
We had a very constructive meeting. We've been in there for an hour and 40 minutes. Went around and around, but we don't have an agreement. The first thing will happen tomorrow morning will be a meeting with the Chief of Staff, Leon Panetta, with John Kasich, Pete Domenici, and us, with Alice Rivlin, too, probably. Yeah. See if they can find some formula.
Democrats sounded much more pessimistic. Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle said this can't go on, and House Democratic Leader Richard Gephardt noted that the Republicans had rejected a suggestion that they simply keep the government going for another 48 hours.
I think we've got some tough problems to solve here. This could last for a while. Again, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's legitimate. I think it's irresponsible. A lot of innocent people will be hurt as a result of what happens in the next days. But right now, I can't tell you when I think this will be resolved. It may not be resolved for a number of days and maybe beyond that.
The late-night meeting at the White House capped a long day in which partisan finger-pointing seemed gradually to give way to a desire to talk. Yesterday morning, Senate Majority Whip Trent Lott said there was only one reason President Clinton had already vetoed a bill raising the debt limit and was certain to veto a stopgap funding bill.
I think the president wants to veto everything. That's his plan. Once he vetoes it and gets all the political points he can out of it, and then if he sees it's really going to start hurting, he'll quickly start talking seriously about what maybe can be worked out.
As the day wore on, however, some looked for a way out. Senate Budget Chairman Pete Domenici floated a proposal to address White House concerns about the GOP plan to raise Medicare premiums, but he got little support. Lawmakers increasingly warned that the days of feuding and blaming each other had simply aroused public anger at everyone involved in the mess. That was House Speaker Newt Gingrich's assessment.
I think they'll blame all of us. I think the American people expect us to be able to act like adults, to get in a room and talk in a civil manner, and to get something accomplished.
Louisiana Democratic Senator John Breaux said as far as his constituents were concerned, the non-essential federal employees being told to stop working should include members of Congress. Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts noted that the employees facing an uncertain work week were going to get paid eventually, which would make it difficult for GOP freshmen to go home and boast that they were so serious about balancing the budget that they brought the government to a halt to make their point.
I mean, this is the most extraordinary fakery I've ever heard in my life. We're going to shut down the government, but we're not going to shut down the government. People are still going to get paid. In effect, Mr. President, this is going to cost the American people more money, and the farce of it is the revolution is paying people not to do their job. Boy, that's a heck of a change in Washington, D.C.
Change is exactly what Republicans say they intend to bring to Washington, D.C., and they say to do it, they have to force the administration to focus on their bottom line, a zero federal deficit on their timetable using their preferred economic assumptions. Senator Lott says Congress can go back and pass new versions of both the debt limit and the stopgap funding bill.
Let me emphasize again. Republicans are not going to vote to give the president a continuing resolution to keep his profligate spending ways going on and a debt ceiling increase without his involvement and agreement to a 7-year Congressional Budget Office confirmed balanced budget.
Federal workers will be paying close attention to what, if any, progress is made today. And lawmakers say, judging by the messages they're getting from home, quite a few other voters are watching as well. I'm Peter Kenyon at the Capitol.
Government employees who would be furloughed face the prospect of delayed paychecks right before the holidays, work piling up in their absence, and the impact to morale of being told that the government can get along without them. Some of them threaten to challenge the distinction under which some people would be sent home and others told to stay on the job. NPR's Philip Davis reports.
Around the country today, hundreds of thousands of federal employees are confronting the fact that jobs that they have labored over and sometimes loved are considered non-essential. Dorothy Vernon helps manage the federal workforce for the Office of Personnel Management. Her job is considered non-essential. And so today, for the fifth time since 1981, the longtime employee is planning to take the bus from her home in Southern Maryland to Washington, report to work, and wait for her superiors to tell her the government is shutting down and she will be sent home.
Everybody's so tired of it. There's something wrong that every year the system can't work. And there are a lot of people I work with who live from paycheck to paycheck who don't know what they're going to do if they miss the whole paycheck. It's never pleasant, but this seems to really be hitting people harder than in the past.
At the National Park Service, one of the nation's most popular agencies, 17,500 employees out of 20,000 total are to be told today to go home if no budget deal is reached. They're non-essential, too. But park spokesman David Barna says without these non-essential employees, national parks and monuments will be closed and will stay that way until the employees come back.
Things like the Washington Monument, Statue of Liberty, Alcatraz Island, Independence Hall, the White House tours, caves and caverns across the West, numerous historic homes like the Harry Truman Home, the Frederick Douglass Home here in D.C., Arlington House up here in the middle of Arlington Cemetery, and it includes visitor centers coast to coast at all of our major parks throughout the country. The plan today is that for as best we can, we will close entrances to those parks and deny new visitors access into those areas.
Thus disrupting plans for hundreds of thousands of ordinary citizens who likely thought their vacation plans were absolutely essential. Now, some workers are considered so essential that even if the government shuts down, they're supposed to stay on the job. They include members of the armed forces and other security agencies, or workers who deal with pressing health issues such as inspections of meat and vegetables for contaminations or spoilage, and employees who help guarantee our safety, such as air traffic controllers. But the definition of essential has become so broad that it applies to fully 60% of the federal workforce. That, some say, makes it easier for politicians to threaten to close down the government if their demands aren't met, since so many will stay on the job. And John Sturtevant, the head of the American Federation of Government Employees, says many of the rest are just as needed.
If you turn 65 tomorrow and you want to apply for Social Security benefits, you will not be able to. If your mother or your grandmother wants to report a lost and stolen Social Security check, she would not be able to. If your uncle is a veteran and wants to apply for benefits, they would not be able to because these places would be shut down. We think that that's essential.
Not only is the public being adversely affected, Sturtevant says, the government could lose as much as several hundred million dollars in salary reimbursement to these so-called non-essential workers when they return. So the Federal Employees Union is planning to sue, arguing that if the government shuts down, all employees should be kept on the job or all should be sent home, since almost all of them, according to Sturtevant, are essential. He hopes the specter of court intervention will be enough to get the executive and legislative branches to stop their squabbling, do their jobs, and pass the remaining spending bills. In Washington, I'm Philip Davis reporting.